It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, Duke fans, and welcome to episode number 42 of DBR Bites. Yes, we have a bite because, of course, it is the postseason, and now we are starting to hear some word about some of the players and where they're going next year, or if they're going anywhere next year. And we, unfortunately, have to talk about one that will be entering the portal. I am Donald Wine. I'm your host for this DBR Bites. Jason Evans is with me. Jason, how are you doing this afternoon? It's Tuesday, April 9th, and we got to talk about one of these players.
Yeah. And it's an unfortunate one because we have to talk about someone who's leaving, which kind of stinks. But I do want to say that for Duke fans, while I'm not going to get into any specifics, I am hearing good things about some other players potentially returning to Durham. Again, not going to get into specifics, but I feel very confident at this point that there will be some significant players from this year's team who will be back on next year's team. It's just sad that we're bidding goodbye to a key member of the team in Mark Mitchell.
Yeah. And Jason, I'm starting to hear some of the same rumblings that you are. I know you told me a few minutes before we recorded, but some other people are hinting at the same things that you know, Jason. Let me in on the secret, but we will talk about that on another episode. Of course, as these things become confirmed, we will bring them to you here. But let's talk about Mark Mitchell, who just as we record in the afternoon on Tuesday, April 9th, just under an hour ago, gave a statement to On3, the basketball recruiting outlet, and the news was released about an hour ago that he will enter the transfer portal and presumably leave Duke. Because obviously people can enter the portal and withdraw from the portal at some point. But as of right now, he is putting his name into the transfer portal. I want to read his statement, Jason, before I get your thoughts on it. And his statement that he gave to On3 reads as follows, in this quote: "I would like to express my sincere gratitude to Duke University and all those who supported me over the past few years. I am deeply appreciative of the impact this community has had on my life, and it will forever remain dear to my heart. Having said that, I have made the decision to enter my name into the transfer portal," close quote. Now, Jason, we've talked a lot about Mark Mitchell, both on the ups and downs that he's had over the past couple of years. I mean, freshman year, the fact that he started almost every single game, he had that knee tweak at the very last game of the season where we end up losing to Tennessee in the NCAA tournament. And then this season, off and on, he had been hurt a couple of games. He was in and out of consistency. We talked about him a lot, but he has been a guy where, again, when he was on, Duke was normally very good. Every time that he scored over 10 points, we had a really good chance of winning. And it's just unfortunate that we didn't see that consistency from this year. But your thoughts on him transferring, entering the portal?
I understand exactly why Mark Mitchell has taken this decision. I think that his role going forward at Duke was going to be challenged. And I'm not sure that Duke is sort of the best fit for Mark Mitchell's kind of game. John Shire very much wants guys who are going to either shoot threes or score at the rim. John Shire understands basketball efficiency. And I'm not sure that that is exactly what Mark Mitchell needs to be. He's not a guy who's ever going to be a volume 3-point shooter. And though he is a slasher, finishing in traffic when there are a lot of guys back there at the rim is something that he has struggled with at times. I mean, we certainly saw him struggle with it a pretty good bit this past season. So I don't know that Duke's offensive game plan really works really well with what Mark Mitchell's skill set is. And as a result, I completely understand why Mark would want to, look someplace else. I also think that when you look at what Duke is bringing in for next year, the players who are likely to be on the roster, both in terms of the freshmen and potential returnees, well, you start to wonder if maybe Mark is going to get squeezed a little tiny bit in terms of playing time and certainly may have a little more trouble shining and, having a large role on the team. That's not to say that Mark isn't a really, really good player. He absolutely is. But I understand. This is all to say I understand why Mark would potentially look elsewhere, to a program where he can be featured a little bit more and where their style of play perhaps will suit him a little bit better.
And it sounds like it's for lack of a better word, a mutual parting of ways. It seems like he wants to go his separate way, and Duke, while they love him, is like, hey, this may not be the best fit for you, so it might be better for you to try and find that fit. But Jason, it's funny, we talk about Mark Mitchell in this year, like I said, he had a lot of ups and downs, but when you look at his stats compared to his freshman year, he is up in almost every category. He's up in minutes, he's up in field goal percentage, points per game, blocks per game, rebounds per game, even steals per game. The only things that he really went down in are the ones that we kind of really, hampered him about throughout the year. Free throw percentage went down. His 3-point percentage obviously went down, and his assist rate was about the same. So it's interesting when we look at how he played. Next year's team may not be a team that really fits him in any category, right? He would have to take a step back in a lot of different ways. That includes not starting. He basically was inked into the starting lineup for the majority of his 2 years here at Duke. And it felt like entering next year, he would have to take a step back in role and production, limited minutes. And also, it wasn't like he's the type of guy that he's like a Vinnie Johnson. We talk about the guy who can be a microwave, come on the floor and immediately make an impact. It would have been interesting to see if that would work out for him, but it doesn't feel like that was part of his game either. He kind of sometimes took a little bit to get into his rhythm. And obviously a lot of his shots were dunks where he got, you basically was able to find his way into open space inside the paint and then be able to finish it with a flush. But that wasn't always going to be the case in a log jammed interior that we may have next year. We talked about in the last episode how Patrick Ngongba is playing again after it was widely reported that he was probably going to be out for an extended period of time, even beyond his senior year of high school, maybe into his freshman year. Now there's hope that he can play next year, and that obviously changes the calculus as well. And it maybe feels like Duke is going in this direction because not just as far as he's concerned, but just the roster that they have coming in, the puzzle pieces don't necessarily match up as well for Mark Mitchell this year.
Yeah. And look, rather than focusing on, how he doesn't necessarily fit, because he's a heck of a player and mm-hmm. he's not someone that you wanted to lose. There's no question about that. I'd rather look back on what I thought was just an incredible stretch of play that he had from the beginning of January until the middle of February, when over the course of 6 times in 10 games, he was the Ken Pomeroy MVP for Duke and was just routinely he puts up 21 against Syracuse, 23 against Notre Dame, 20 against Louisville. And then it all culminates the home game against Wake Forest, which is a very close, very competitive game. Mark Mitchell scored 23 points in that game on very efficient shooting. He also had 8 rebounds, a couple block shots. This was the heady time for Mark Mitchell, where he was really, really soaring as a player. Yeah, things went a little bit downhill from there. Really, other than the NC State game in the ACC tournament, when Mark and Kyle Filipowski were the only guys on Duke who were getting anything done. Other than that, you know, the final 10 games or so of Mark's season were not great. Let's just put it that way. When I think back on Mark Mitchell, it'll be the thunder dunks, the incredible defense, and just the way he played in that really, really nice stretch through the middle of the season this year, where to some extent he was carrying this team.
And I'll even go back further. I'll go back to his freshman year when he was the most, he turned out to be one of the most indispensable players we had on that team last year. He, again, started every game but the last one. And every single time you kind of felt like, and we kind of joked about it on this podcast. We're like, oh, there's going to be a point where they're going to have to remove Mark Mitchell from the lineup. And he always found ways to keep himself in the lineup through his play, notably his defense. And even last year, his ability to defend without fouling was at a rate that was on a national level, not like an ACC level or a Duke level. It was a really, you know, he had a really good clip where he lined up against some of the better offensive players in the front court and was able to shut him down in the ACC and the national.
Yeah. I've got the number right in front of me. I was about to comment on it. His fouls drawn rate, so to speak, as a freshman was just outrageous. One of the tops in all of college basketball. And though it was, though that dropped off a bit this year, he is still someone who is notable for being a lockdown defender who can defend 1 through 5, which is very rare, and do it without committing fouls. And that is a super valuable thing. I am sure he is going to find a good landing place at a high major program. And, I think Mark Mitchell is a future pro. I don't know if he's a NBA pro, but Mark Mitchell is going to earn plenty of money and have a long career playing professional basketball.
Yeah, and we both wish him the best wherever he goes. We thank him for his time at Duke. And like you said, there's a lot that we kind of go back and forth on what you want to talk about here, but we choose to focus on the good times that we had with him and all the moments that he had where he, like you said, that stretch, you failed to mention in that stretch of January where he didn't miss a three-pointer. I know he only took 6. But he made them all, and yeah, he was the best. We had the stat that he was the best three point shooter in the country for a stretch of the season. Like those things again don't come. And I will say this, Jason, I still remember that Notre Dame game last year where he hit the couple threes with a couple minutes left, including one with like 10 seconds left. I was at that game.
Huge
three. I say that because not because hey his best moment was a game last year where we beat a struggling Notre Dame team by a few points because he hit a three. My point was after the game when John Shire came in and said he takes 100 shots from that corner every single day after practice because he knows that that was a moment that he could have and he wanted to be ready for it. The work ethic that he had, the motor that he had was always present, and I really appreciated that aspect of his game, the fact that more often than not, if things were going bad or whatever, I know that Mark Mitchell was doing his best. He was hustling. He was getting those, you know, rebounds. And again, even, you know, doing the statless stuff that doesn't register on a box score, but really helps a team win. He was a part of that for his 2 years here. So I thank you for Mark Mitchell to him and his family. Hope that everything works out wherever he ends up and that he does incredibly well, of course, except if he ends up playing us. We would hope for his team to lose by 50 and he can score 30 points and everyone will go home happy. But Mark Mitchell still has a good future ahead of him. And unfortunately is not going to be as a Duke Blue Devil, at least as of now, because he has now entered the portal. Jason, anything else before we take a break?
Yeah. Last word. I don't want folks to feel like we are ushering him out the door or anything like that. This is a big loss for Duke. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. The best scenario for Duke was to retain a guy like Mark Mitchell and convince him to take what we all know would have been sort of a different kind of role than it was this year. But this may have been the best thing for Mark. And I think that's what we should focus on. We are Duke fans. We're pulling for this team. But at the same time, I don't think you can pull for the team and not also pull for the players and wish them well in whatever it is they're doing. You're right. I hope he doesn't go to another ACC school. I hope we don't have to face him a lot or anything like that. But I will not. I will not bring myself to root against this guy. He was, by all accounts, a good presence in the locker room. He was a guy who worked hard, as you said, and he's someone that we should be proud to have had as part of the Duke program for a couple of years. And wherever he goes next, he will have success.
No better place to leave it there than that, Jason. We're going to take a quick break on the other side. Last night, there was a basketball game. Two teams played. One team won. We're going to talk about it after this.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, Jason, we're back. And of course, we're doing this pod on the day after the men's national championship game. We got a chance to talk about the women's national championship on our last show. So we should talk about the men's game. And unfortunately for many Duke fans who are not a fan of the Connecticut Huskies are back-to-back champions this morning because they won 75-60 against Purdue. It's their sixth title since 1999. They are 6-0 in title games during that stretch. They joined Duke in 1991 and 92 and Florida in 2006 and 2007 as back-to-back champions over the last like 40 some odd years since UCLA.
Yeah, basically since the tournament expanded to 64 teams, there have been three programs who have managed to win back-to-backs. And honestly, look, Florida is not the program that Duke or Connecticut is. And Donald, you know, you go on. I interrupted you, but I think it's pretty hard at this point not to say that UConn has officially joined the blue bloods of the sport.
Yeah, I think that was the debate this morning. And of course, a lot of people are comparing Duke to UConn because UConn with their sixth national championship has passed us in the rankings. I think it's only UNC, Kentucky, and UCLA that are are ahead of them, or at least alongside.
UNC also has six.
Yeah. You know, the Helms ones will count them for the purposes of counting for this episode, but we don't count them in real life because they don't count. I digress. I think Jason, the one thing about this UConn team is how they've done it on the floor. And a lot of people are talking about kind of the dominance that they had. And even last night, you know, it felt like they took Purdue's best shot. And then at halftime, they were up six. And you were kind of like, well, that's a wrap. Because if they can't they can't do much better than that. And of course, Purdue has their worst half of the season, most likely, in the second half, while UConn just steadily just started to pull away. And the fact that they did this run, this back-to-back run, by beating every team by double digits, I think
13,
that's
13 points. They've won 12 consecutive games in the NCAA tournament by 13 plus points. I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe they have covered the Vegas spread in every single game for the past two tournaments. That's outrageous. That is
that's
ridiculous.
That's very impressive. I hate everything that is nice about UConn right now. I hate saying it because I don't like UConn. I don't like the fact that we have to compare ourselves to them, because over the course of, you know, the last 40 years, even since the tournament expanded, like, they've won six times, but like, they barely get to the tournament. But the problem is, when they get to the tournament, they win. So everybody looks at them as a lead program. And Jason, I will say this, we look at this game. Well, first of all, let me back up, because let me get your thoughts on the actual game, because I know you watched it. So give me your thoughts on the game before I push further into the future.
So the most impressive thing to me in this game was UConn's defense. And by that, I mean the way they prevented Purdue, one of the best, I think Purdue was the second best three-point shooting team in all of college basketball. Purdue went 1 of 7 from three. UConn said, okay, Zach Edey, go ahead and get yours. We're going to make it hard on you. We're going to give you a lot of different looks, a lot of different bodies. It wasn't just Donovan Clingan who played Zach Edey. We're going to make it hard on you. We're going to run the damn floor again and again and again and again, so you get a little bit tired. But Zach Edey, you go ahead and get yours. No one else on your team is going to get nothing. That is easy for a coach to say, that's our game plan. It is a whole nother thing to be able to actually execute that. And that is what UConn did. Purdue only took 7 3-pointers in this game. Only made one. Ridiculous. Outrageous. In an era where the three-pointer is such a huge part of the sport. In a year where Purdue relied so much on three-point shooting, for them to only take 7? And it wasn't that they were scared or afraid or anything. It was that the UConn defense went, no, we're not giving you that. And by the way, we're also not going to let you drive to the hole. I was like, I don't know what, other than dumping it into Zach Edey, which was fairly effective. He scored like half their points. Other than that, there was nothing else they could do. And that's just super impressive by UConn. Wow. They're a heck of a team. I want to be clear, by the way. Side note, a lot of people out there saying, oh, is this one of the best teams of the, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, one of, sure. One of. But I told you guys like an episode or two ago, 1999 Duke, which lost. 1999 Duke's the best team of the past 30 years. Period, end of story, we can shut it all down. There's no question about that. And it's like not even close. But hat tip to this UConn team that's probably one of the top 5 to 7 or so of the past 30 years. So awesome for them.
Yeah, they're in the conversation of, you know, like you said, the blue blood programs. And again, now their next step is consistency, like continuing to be in the tournament, continue to do well. And there's going to be a target on their back even more. And of course, there was a lot that came out in the 24 hours leading up to that with John Calipari, the news that he might be going to Arkansas.
Crazy
and
how, stuff. Crazy.
And how Dan Hurley might be a candidate. He said afterwards that his wife really likes Stores, Connecticut, and that
he said, I can't afford to get divorced. Money.
He can't afford to get divorced. He just started making money, which is true. And maybe he knows that he can build, you know, a legacy at UConn as opposed to being the next guy resources. To be run out of town in Lexington.
they got resources for sure. Yeah. Look, Dan Hurley openly admits that he has struggled with anxiety issues over the course of his life, and he is happy and successful and beloved, and his family is happy in Connecticut in Stores. So why are you going to go to Kentucky where anxiety is going to be through the roof?
Right.
I mean, supposedly, I think he makes right around $5 million a year, and they'll probably give him some kind of raise. And there's all this talk that Kentucky's going to make him an offer he cannot refuse. I'm guessing that offer is double your salary. Here's $10 million. If I'm Dan Hurley, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't get double my salary. Nah, I'm $5 million is more than enough money for me.
Well, is even that? I mean, he might get five. He's getting a bump, obviously, because he won a national championship. He probably has some bonus clause of some sort. And then they'll go and say, okay, let's tack on a couple, you know, a million or so on top of that. Like, for him to not move his family to Lexington, and again, you know, kind of be the Friday night lights of basketball, where that, like, every time he goes to the grocery store or to a Walgreens, something like, coach, we gonna win Friday night? We gonna win? Like, we only won by 47. What's going on? Like, I know he doesn't want them problems. A lot of people don't want them problems. John Calipari don't want them problems, which is why he's trying to go to Arkansas. So
exactly.
So there's, yeah. So it's going to, that side note, that is going to be an interesting domino should it fall, right? There's still talk that it might be a ploy for him to get more money from Kentucky to stay, but it's going to be interesting how that works out. But Dan Hurley, as of right now, is saying he's staying at UConn to keep that legacy together. I think that's, I honestly, in a way, I think that's cool that he's turning down Kentucky to stay at UConn. But that's where I'll leave the coolness.
Yeah. So two things really quick about Dan Hurley and the UConn situation. The first one is this huge hat tip to him for winning back-to-backs the way he did, because the way Florida and Duke won back-to-back was, look at this. Rolled a lineup out there and they won a national title. And look, they're all coming back, you know, except for like Billy McCaffrey. I mean, mm-hmm. Duke returned everything in 91-92 and Florida returned everything in 2006-2007. And yeah, they won back to back is still super impressive. What UConn did was a whole different ball game. They lost three key players from last year's team. Arguably their three best players from last year's team. That all departed and they won it again. That is a whole different animal. And that is super impressive. And like, I don't know who's going to be on their roster next year. I'm sort of hearing and seeing that, you know, UConn's probably going to lose like their four of their five starters. Yeah. Go ahead. Pick against them. I dare you. I feel like what Dan Hurley has done and his coaching staff have done in terms of their scheming, in terms of their ability to develop players, look, they're going to have NIL money to bring in some transfers and stuff like that. A lot of this team was built on transfers. Tristan Newton was a transfer, and he was their best player. UConn will absolutely be back. And frankly, if you pick them outside of your top five, top eight next season, I think you're being just foolish, because they have clearly demonstrated that they can do it regardless of who's putting on the laundry. The laundry itself can do it with Dan Hurley behind it. And then the other thing I wanted to mention really quickly is this. As far as I'm concerned, Dan Hurley is a cousin of the Brotherhood, because his brother and his father was very close to Coach K and was someone that Coach K often spoke to and who Coach K considered, you know, perhaps the greatest high school coach in history. And of course, I mean, we don't need to talk about what Bobby Hurley means to Coach K and to the Duke program and such. And Dan Hurley, regardless of what you think about him and his histrionics and all kinds of other stuff like that, sorry, he's Bobby Hurley's brother. Bobby Hurley's part of the Brotherhood. Dan Hurley's a cousin. Maybe cousin once removed, whatever you want to call it. But we as Duke fans should have a little bit of pride and admiration for someone who is close to part of our program having this kind of success. So, Dan Hurley, way to go. Way to go. I am sure it was difficult for Dan Hurley growing up as the second best Hurley kid playing basketball. You know, Dan was good enough to get a scholarship to Seton Hall. That is not easy to do. And yet his entire time in college, I'm sure he heard about the fact that his brother was, you know, top 2-3 point guards of all time. Why aren't you as good as your brother? Could not have been easy for him. And today, Bobby Hurley hears all the time. Bobby Hurley is a head coach at a Power 5 school. And I'm sure he hears all the time, why aren't you as good a coach as your brother?
if he's a cousin of the Brotherhood, then as family, you know, this is a family union, right? We should make sure that Dan Hurley becomes the coach at Arkansas so we can get out of UConn, so that we can support our cousins when they're on the battlefield.
Arkansas.
Get him out of stores. He can't go to Kentucky. We can't do that. At least Arkansas, if we send him there, then he'll be fine. Like, we can go, that's our guy at Arkansas. That's our boy.
That's not happening, my friend. Not happening.
It's not happening. But it's hard to root for your cousin when he's lacing them up, or at least coaching them up for UConn.
I don't have as much disdain for UConn as some other Duke fans do.
I do.
I know that they are sort of in direct competition with us. As you mentioned, they now have one more national title than we do. If you were to ask people who's the greatest program in college basketball, you know, in the modern era, in the past 30, 40 years, a whole lot of people are going to say Duke, but I bet sort of the second, especially recently, the second pick, probably UConn, or they're certainly, you know, they're in the top 3-4 in that conversation. So yeah, we should feel some rivalry with them, but I don't know. We each want to beat the crap out of each other as much as we can. And I will always hate them for denying the 99 team what I think could have been the title as the greatest ever. But like I say, Dan Hurley's a cousin. I gotta go do that.
I will say this, Jason, and this kind of leads me to the future point that I was about to make. The way too early top 25 poll came out on ESPN at like the game ended at 11:38. This came out at 11:41 or something like that at night. And Duke, of course, is listed as number one. And this is obviously before the Mark Mitchell news, but they obviously took into account that Cooper Flagg is coming and if they can land some other pieces or retain some other pieces, I should say, that this team is going to be unstoppable. UConn is right there. But Jason, do you know what I was doing last night during the game? After UConn went up about 16 points and it looked like the end was basically there, I was editing my workout plan. I was going through my diet and writing down my goals for the next few months. It is time for all of us to get back in the lab and get better. That's what the end of this basketball season means to me. Players become better players, coaches become better coaches, trainers become better trainers, and fans become better fans. Nothing is going to be given to us next year. Everyone's going to have the target on our back, and we're used to that because we're Duke. So let's go out this summer. All of us work hard so that come fall, again, no one's going to give it to us, so we're just going to have to go take it. And luckily, we're going to have a squad, no matter who ends up on this roster, we're going to have a squad that's going to be in contention to go take it from UConn, because right now they're the champs. So we got to take the belt from them. WrestleMania was this weekend too, so we have that corollary. If someone has the belt and you want the belt, you got to go take it. They're not going to hand it to you, and they're not going to forfeit it. So that's what we need to do. After this is over, Jason, I'm probably going to get in the lab. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to go to the gym and start working out, and I'm going to be a better fan. I'm going to start doing my research, because this summer is a big summer for Duke basketball, and everyone here needs to make sure that they are part of the solution, not the problem.
I love it. I need to work out and lose some weight myself.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, we'll keep each other accountable on this show. Yeah. Okay, Jason, that'll do it for episode 42 of the DBR Bites. Again, thank you everybody for joining us. We'll be back soon, of course, when there's more news. I should mention this weekend is reunions weekend. So if you are a class of that ends in 4 or ends in 9, it is your weekend. That is me and Jason. Jason, are you going?
I'm not going, unfortunately. I've just got too much other stuff going on. I put off a bunch of stuff because the NCAA tournament's been happening, and I refuse to book anything during the tournament. And so now it's kind of hitting me pretty hard. So yeah, I can't make it, unfortunately. I think it's my 35th. Sorry.
Yeah.
Am I doing that math right? 89, 99.
Yes, 35.
Yeah, 35th. All right. So that's not that big a deal. I'll be back for the 40th. I'll try and make the 40th.
So Jason's lame. He's not going to be there, but I will, because it's my 20th reunion. And of course, the class of 2004, the greatest class in Duke history, will all converge on Durham. Apparently, we have the biggest attendance coming of any class. That's what I heard. You heard it from here. I refuse to be wrong. Even if I'm wrong, don't tell me. But I'm going to be down there. So if you're in the neighborhood in Durham and it's one of your reunions, come by. I'll be circulating around. I don't know where I'll be, but you know where I will be. I'll be somewhere on campus, so come holler at me. But until then, until some any other news comes on, again, hit us up, dbrpodcast@gmail.com. We thank you, everybody, who sends us lots of emails in the off season. But for now, for Jason Evans, I am Donald Wine. This is DBR Podcast, and now it is time for the Duke fan to play us out and take us home.